What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Wednesday that feels like a Monday, but also feels like a Thursday. I don't know. It's feeling crazy.
I'm so out of sorts.
Yeah.
I can't keep track of what day it is and what day it isn't.
Good point.
This week just kind of needs to cycle through itself and we can start again on a fresh foot. Though I'm not trying to like rush away the 3-day weekend.
No,
I am feeling utterly confused.
I'm feeling utterly confused, utterly grateful. You know,
yeah,
I'm never gonna knock a long weekend because it's great. But I think I'd be remiss, devastated, and heartbroken if I didn't acknowledge this weird sort of limbo feeling I'm feeling.
I think a lot of people are feeling it. I'm seeing people who like were posting last night being like Sunday feels, and then they're like, oh wait, shit, it's not Sunday.
No,
and I'm relating to them.
And I definitely feel like, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I've really evolved past, like, the Sunday scaries. Like, I feel good on Sundays. Like, I always reset. I clean. I wash my hair. Like, I've turned it around. I've made Sundays my bitch a little bit. So I haven't had that feeling in a while. But, like, yesterday was, like, so negative. It was so toxic, actually.
Damn, and that was the holiday itself.
I know. I was thinking that. I'm like, not me and Jackie praising July 4th being on a Tuesday and like it low-key sucks.
It kind of wasn't all it was cracked up to be. I mean, I can't really speak because I didn't have like a proper July 4th weekend. We were just in the city and doing like activities in the neighborhood. So we didn't like have the long weekend and, you know, we weren't grilling up, even though I did
right.
have some watermelon yesterday, which was incredibly festive.
That's so July 4th.
It was so July 4th and it was so tasty. But I just felt like the weekend never started and it never ended.
No, I love that description. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, and everybody kind of had, like, different work schedules. So some people, like, they only had Tuesday. Other people are like, Thursday night, where's the party at? And it's
right.
like, we need to get on the same page as a country.
No, because we were not united at all this week. And you could totally feel it. And July 4th is a holiday about unity.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of all over the place
as
a society.
We were very disjointed as a country.
Yeah, I hate
to
complain.
Do better, America.
I hate to complain about days off because, you know, we had days off and we should just, like, celebrate. But I'd be, you know, we got to be honest. It wasn't like, you know, like, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. But now I'm grateful that next year is the leap year and July 4th will be on a Thursday next year, which makes it extremely clear where
right,
and when we're celebrating.
And then it's like the holiday is the Thursday. So we like have the big holiday and then it's Friday. No one's going to work that Friday. And then it's like you go straight into the weekend. I think this whole experiment has taught us the ideal day for July 4th is a Thursday, not a Wednesday like we thought.
Also, there's the days of the week, but then also the dates. Like the fact that July 4th weekend started on June 30th and it was like never July 4th. It kept being July 2nd and we're celebrating July 4th. Like next year, July 4th will be the first day of the weekend. And then we come back to work. It's July 8th. Hey, we're a quarter of the way through July.
I'm already looking forward to next year. Like, let's plan something.
Oh, we're for sure planning something because I didn't get my proper July 4th. Though I did get to see fireworks last night.
How was July 4th bed rest edition?
Not as good as July 4th queuing up edition. Pool party edition.
Queuing up?
Barbecue.
Oh, queuing up. I thought you were like, okay, sorry, continue.
Yeah, not as good as July 4th pickleball edition.
Yeah.
But we had our fun.
You always do.
Yeah, Streis was loving life.
Love
he had
that.
Some good times. Snitch actually came over for the 4th.
That's lovely.
Yeah, we had a reading play date. We both finished our Redheads book because we're recording the new episode tonight. This book was so good, and I learned so much. It's a book.
That's the best.
It just took me into like a whole new community. Like, it's about a boarding school for deaf kids, and it's just about like deaf culture. And throughout the book, there's like sign language interspersed. So I've been practicing some sign language.
Hey, look at you!
I can spell Bruno.
Of course you can.
And I'm working on Jackie, but it doesn't roll off the fingers as nicely as Bruno.
No, because Bruno's perfect, and that makes sense.
Yeah. So I've learned so much. I'm really excited to record. And the episode comes out tomorrow.
Big day.
Big day. We haven't had a Redheads episode in like 6 weeks due to this shifting calendar.
Today's episode is my favorite type of episode because you and I haven't seen each other in like 5 days.
I know. It's been hard.
We also haven't really chatted.
We haven't because you've been like lit, you know, and we don't FaceTime when you're so lit unless you have a question for me.
Yeah, which I did. and we just have so much catching up to do. Of course, Kyle and Mauricio, there's so much to discuss in the news, which is great. So much so that Jackie and I have actually decided today, so we're not rushed or anything, we're going to move Dear Toasters to tomorrow. I had the submissions and they're really good. And I want to be able to like fully engage and not, you know, be an hour and a half in and be like, and now it's time for Dear Toasters.
Yeah, and I want to give it my all. And also tomorrow we'll be in studio, and Dear Toasters is always fun together, and it will be fun to do it tomorrow. So I hope that's okay. Plus, the days of the week don't really apply this week, so I don't feel like we're beholden to Wednesday Dear Toasters, considering it's not a Wednesday.
It's literal lawlessness. Like, we don't have to follow any rules.
No, and also, we make the rules.
I get what I want. And this winter break, I want Jordan.
We make the rules and we break the rules.
We make the rules? Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of, like, another rebuttal that was better than yours.
No, but you just, like, have to have the last.
100%.
What's it called? The last word.
Yeah, no, like, that's me.
It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
It suits us.
I was actually thinking this morning, I was like, oh, I need to recap my weekend on the toast. My weekend started, like, a month ago.
Uh-huh.
I totally forgot, like, we podcasted Friday, right?
We did, remote.
Remote. And then Friday night, like, literally, I took this, like, this feels like a month ago. Me and Ben saw Ricky Gervais. Like, that doesn't even feel even remotely recent, but it was amazing. I wanted to tell everyone, like, you gotta see Ricky if he's in your town. We weren't even planning it. Ben was just like looking up like things in the, going on in the city, and we're like, oh, should we go to like maybe see Ricky Gervais? And we literally got tickets like maybe 2 hours before. It was incredible. Oh my god, he's so fucking funny, and he's so out of pocket. Like, you just can't believe the shit that comes out of his mouth. And what I really appreciated was, so he did his whole show. It was hysterical. I don't want to like, the whole weekend, me and Ben were, like, telling people we saw Ricky Gervais. Like, we each had favorite parts. And we were trying to, like, tell people what Ricky said. And we were just botching it and, like, honestly making Ricky look so bad. Nobody should really ever try and, like, reenact, like, something you saw in a stand-up. Like, you just really, it's one of those things you had to be there for. That didn't stop us from, like, literally retelling all these jokes. And everyone was like, oh, it's so funny. Yeah, like, but it really was so funny. But what I really liked about Ricky's show, I'd never seen Ricky Gervais live. And I'm not even a particular, like, big Ricky girl, you know? So I didn't know that this was a thing he did. But everyone around me seemed to, like, know. Because when it was over, he, like, bowed and waved. And nobody got up. I'm like, move. I'm like, I got to beat the rush. I got to go. And nobody moved. I'm like, what? And he comes back out. So he has this obviously, like, very, what's the word? Provocative persona. Like, he says crazy shit and he makes jokes and he goes there. And I feel like he wants to make it clear, like, that's not who he is. He just, like, likes to make jokes like that because it's fucking funny. So he does his set where he's just saying, like, you know, crazy shit. And then he comes back out and just gives, like, a 3-minute, not even a performance. He just talks to the audience, like, as Ricky, you know?
He comes out, Ricky.
He does the Ricky Gervais show. And then he comes out as Ricky. And he just, like, talks about, like, the state of the world and how he just wishes everyone could get along. Like, it was actually, I really liked it.
In middle school?
Right. I really liked that thing. Like, I've never seen anyone do that, and it really, you know, you got to know the man behind the show.
Damn, that's beautiful, Turdy Lou.
I highly recommend. It's called, like, the Armageddon Tour. He talks about, like, all the backlash he got on his last comedy special. I'm sure he's gonna film this one for Netflix. He's really so funny. I mean, Ben, this is much more like Ben's type of humor. I swear to God, Ben never laughed so hard at anything I've ever said. Like, killing. Damn. Jackie, His head was resting on the chair in front of him. He, like, couldn't breathe. He was, I'm like, oh, my God, okay, calm down. And, like, it was funny. I'm like, calm down, though.
That's so funny. You told me I should go the next night. I thought about it. It just was a little too ambitious for me, but I wish I could have gone.
No, I'm like, Ben, you literally live with a comedian. Like, calm down.
Yeah, he acts like he's never, like, heard a joke before.
No, and then he's on Instagram. And then he's on Instagram being like, if you can see Ricky Gervais, it is the best comedy in the... I'm like, you literally are so fucking rude. Like, you're so rude.
Yeah, that is rude.
Yeah.
Like, that would be, like, you promoting a different canned cocktail.
No, like, just going out for drinks and being like, oh, my God, this canned wine is the most delicious thing I've ever seen. Like, how have I never had this before?
If
everybody needs to get this.
Have a chance to drink this. Yeah. You have to.
Go. Go do, like, so fucking hurtful.
That's funny.
But it was, like, a great way to kick off the weekend. And I stayed in the city. See, like, we had, like, 2 weekends because I stayed in the city till Sunday.
Yeah, but you went to a party on Sunday.
On Saturday. So, Ricky Friday, I went out to Long Island to hit up the annual Kyle and Kristen Juszczyk 4th of July party. My first year being invited. I keep saying annual, like I go every year.
It's annual for them.
Yeah, not for me.
TBD and I don't know, for you.
I don't know the way I behaved if I'll be invited back. Right. But it was so fun. I love like a house party and they live on the water and it was just so fun. And like, you know, I'm kind of like a member of the 49ers family, I think I would say. I think a lot of people would say that. You know, I'm just kind of like I'm kind of a staple in the San Francisco 49ers community.
I'd say you're a family friend.
No, I would say I'm a family member.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure.
No, you wouldn't say that?
I would say you're a family friend. Like, because the family, like, they committed their whole lives to their kid playing football and, like, all of the ups and downs and, like, will they get drafted? Like, you didn't go through any of that. Like, you're here for the ride. You're a family friend.
No, I think I went through some of that.
Okay.
It was so fun. Oh, my God. It was just, like, you know, fratty energy, like beer pong.
You love being a frat queen.
I do. You know who taught me that? You.
It's so true. She got her taste for it when she would come visit me.
Yeah, like, I went to NYU. I wasn't doing, you know, like, keg stands anywhere. I was literally, like, sitting in my room crying. So whenever I would go visit Jackie, I would, like, get to experience, like, real college things. You had, like, frats, and we would do keg stands and, like, whatever. And so funny, actually, I forgot to tell you this. So Kyle Juszczyk, which like is such an interesting fact about him, he went to Harvard for football. And I guess there's like this thing that started at Harvard. It's called the Dunkaroo, where you basically like, if you saw it on my Instagram, I posted it on TikTok. You have to like, somebody holds up your legs, kind of like a keg stand, but it's over a big bucket of ice cold water. And you have to dip your head in for 10 seconds and then chug a beer when you get out. And everyone was doing it. They said it was a rite of passage to become a member of the 49ers family. That's what they said.
Oh, so that's how you're a family member now.
Yeah. And so I did it and it was so fucking fun. I felt like a real Harvard grad. And then I posted it on Instagram and I was like, my first time, like, doing a Dunkaroo or whatever. And your college friend, Sam, was like, Claudia, you've literally done one, like, with me. Like, you were there.
I don't even remember you dunking your head. I remember you did a keg stand.
Me too. I did a keg stand. That was the first time when I visited you at college. But she was like, I literally have a picture of you and Jackie. Like, you were doing it. Like, we've done it.
I didn't do it.
No, she said she
you
has
could
pictures.
Not get me to wet my hair in college. Ever.
That's true. That's
ever.
True.
Let alone in the middle of a party.
The plot thickens.
Well, if she has a picture, I want to see it.
Yeah, I said, like I said, find the picture. And she was like, you know, like.
Facebook. Maybe I was holding like, your legs, being maybe. A supportive sis. But no, actually, if she could tell me like when, what year, what party, maybe I could place it.
I don't know if she's telling the truth or not, or if she's like remembering correctly.
She's pretty truthful and accurate as a historian.
Well, I'm just going to choose to believe, like, my first time doing a Dunkaroo was, like, with George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk. Like, that's the story I'm telling my grandchildren.
Okay, that's fine. But also, we could kind of split it and be like, this was Turdy's first time doing a Dunkaroo.
True.
And back then, you were just Claudia.
So boring. So ugly. So many moles.
So this was Turdy Lou's first Dunkaroo, and that's factual.
And then I became, like, kind of hooked on the way I felt afterwards. Like, the ice was freezing. But, you know, it's, like, kind of the cold plunge theory.
That's what, like, I was going to say. It's, like, the Wim Hof thing.
Jackie, you would have thought, like, I took ecstasy. I was like, it feels amazing. Like, I felt – and it wasn't even, like, particularly hot. Like, I became – obsessed with just the feeling of like dunking my face in like ice cold water. And I totally understand like the science, like people love cold plunging. And like I kind of experienced like a small taste of that and I loved it. I was doing it all weekend. Like we kept filling, it was really hot this weekend when I went to Brian's house. We kept filling up like these coolers with ice and water and just sticking our heads in it. And it felt so good.
So are you going to go to Home Depot and get a cold plunge bath?
No.
I don't know. Maybe it's like added to the list of things Turdy said she would never do. And true. Now she is an advocate for. But you do remember when we cold plunged, right?
Yes, we cold plunged in the ocean, the Atlantic, in literally the middle of October. And I remember being like, this is the best feeling. Like when we got out, it was so crazy. It was such a rush, adrenaline.
It was such a rush.
Oh my God. Afterwards, I felt like I could seriously like hike Kilimanjaro. I was like, this is everything.
Yeah, that was fun.
So I get it.
I would recommend to a friend.
Yeah, I would do it again.
Maybe like one day I'll get into my cold plunge era.
It's not you that have a house.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who lives in an apartment who has a cold plunge.
Well, no, they would just like, I guess, go to their local gym and the gym has a cold plunge. Like Equinox probably does.
Oh, I don't know.
Right? They would be missing out if they didn't.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
So I like lived my frat girl fantasy. I had the best time. The party had the best food. I like never ate so much in my whole life. It was just a fabulous day being a part of the 49ers family, you know?
It looked fabulous. I'm really happy for you.
We missed you desperately, eagerly.
I missed you guys too, but it was fun following along.
And then on Sunday, I just drove out to Brian's house where I stayed for a few days and had like a real, it was giving Canyon Ranch energy, you know? I woke up, I played pickleball. I couldn't be more obsessed with pickleball if I tried. And I know it's like, oh, Claudia's like lazy mind reading. Down. I know. Okay, shut up.
I just want you to know in my personal time, I already added it to the list.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Claudia's like the last stubborn bitch on this planet. Like, I know, okay?
It's not even, well, that's one thing. But the other thing is like, I feel like you trust me and I'm always trying to tell you like good things. And you just never take my word for it until you have to like go and find out for yourself.
I just want to say that's not true, okay? As it pertains to pickleball, okay?
Okay.
Because we played pickleball. I've played once before.
Yeah.
When we all went away for the weekend and the place we were staying like had a pickleball court. Yeah. And we had the best time. It was like sisters split up. I forget whose team I was on, but like it was just like the four of us having we were giggling, cackling, sweating. Like it was amazing. And I knew that I like liked it. But I where the fuck am I going to play pickleball? Like right. You, okay, privileged queen. Like you have a pickleball in your neighborhood. Like how nice for you. Some of us live in bunkers in New York. Okay, where the fuck am I going to play pickleball?
Okay, just so you know, they opened like a million pickleball courts for the summer in Central Park. I don't know if you saw those pictures.
Because I was, now that I'm so obsessed and I've made pickleball my entire personality because I'm moderately good at it, I'm starting a league. I have to figure out who's invited to my league and where we're going to get drinks after, but I'm starting a league.
That's a really great idea.
Yeah, because like, obviously, I'm not, you know, a super active person, which isn't, like, great for me. I know that. But it's very difficult for me to even become remotely motivated to get up. Like, I'm, like, exercise is the bane of my existence. And I had so much fun. It wasn't even exercise. But then I was, like, and you know what I did? It was so hot. Oh, my God. And I'm wearing biker shorts and a t-shirt and a sports bra. And my t-shirt was just, like, clinging to my back sweat. So I took it off. And I was just, like, a girl in a sports bra, which is like not crazy.
You were like everyone.
Yeah, I was like those girls who like sit in the front row at SoulCycle, you know?
Yeah, who are just like aloe yoga, set active, kissy
literally
face.
Kissy face, set active. I couldn't believe it. I was like, am I
but, like,
a model?
Whenever you do something that's like everybody does, you kind of realize that's why everybody does it. Like, it's nice not to have your t-shirt clinging to you.
That was kind of the theme of the weekend. You know, things are popular for a reason, i.e. pickleball, i.e. sports bras. Like, I really, that's like kind of something I've learned in like later in life. Like, things are popular and like well-liked for a reason.
Yeah. Like Ray Dunn. Like the Stanley.
Right. The Stanley. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I totally.
Like, I have a Stanley and you know what? She is that bitch.
Yeah, she is. I'm loving Stanley. I spent the weekend with Stanley.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you to come visit me and we can play pickleball.
Yes. Like, oh, now. Oh, by the way, and the fact that I've come to your house so many times and, like, it's never even come up. I know, like, you and Olivia and the Zachs, like, on the weekends will, like, sometimes play pickleball. That's how Zach Shapiro broke his foot. but, like, every time I've ever come to your house, nobody's like, let's play pickleball. Maybe I would have. Like.
Yeah, but it's just, like, if we had suggested it to you out of the blue, you would have been offended.
Yeah. That's true.
Because, like, when Dana visited, she was with me for, like, 3 days. We played pickleball every day.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed. Like, Jackie, and you're going to be, like, so surprised. I'm amazing.
No, that's the fun thing about pickleball. Not to diminish you, because if you're saying you're amazing, I believe you're amazing, and I'm pretty good, too.
No, you don't have to believe me. Like, everyone was talking about it. Everyone who was staying at Brian's being like, did you see Claudia? She's so good.
But the fun thing about pickleball is that it's easy to be good and, mm-hmm. like, good enough to play and enjoy it. Because, like, when you play tennis and you stink and you miss every ball, like, that's not fun. But, like, if you play pickleball for 5 minutes, you can hit balls back and, like, you can get in the game. And it's really easy to like, carry a game.
Yeah, no, and it's not like when you play tennis and, like, one person stinks or both of you stinks, you can't even get, like, a three rally going. Right, like, you can't even get the ball over the net more than three times. Pickleball, you're right. Like, entry level, it's very simple.
Yeah.
But everyone has different rules. That's
I
the know. Thing.
Like, Brian? I play some abridged rules that I was sharing with you, but then I was Googling it, and then there's, like, more rules. And I think you just have pickleball is kind of more personal than comedy.
Yeah, because Brian had this rule that I felt like wasn't real, and it was, like, felt like an attack on me.
What was it?
Okay, so I serve the ball. No, I serve the ball. The person returns it.
Okay.
When it then gets returned to me, I can't volley it. It has to, like, bounce twice on bounce once on each side. Is that true?
That is true.
That's such a toxic fucking rule. I did not like that rule.
I'm sorry.
It was annoying.
But at least you're allowed to sing.
True. So that was, I think, my weekend recap. I just, like, when I got to Brian's, it was real, like, relaxed energy. Ben cooked. Like, we had barbecue. We had, like, all the 4th of July things. I swam. Brian rode horses. It was really, like, idyllic. We went out for dinners. It was really, like, Canyon Ranch energy.
And Theo?
Blast.
I'm so glad to hear it. Do you want to know what I watched this weekend, which is going to really surprise you because I had never seen it?
Okay, is it a movie?
It's a movie that you actually talk about a lot, and I don't know if I've ever admitted when you've talked about it that I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, what is it?
Sliding Doors.
Ready? I've never seen it either. I just know the concept. I know, like, the concept of the film, and it kind of has, like, a larger message about life.
It does, but what's so funny is this is kind of a spoiler, but not really, because I need to say what you always say that turned out not to be true. Because you talk about the premise of Sliding Doors, how if she made the train, she would have seen her boyfriend cheating on her, and then
By the way, I didn't even know that her boyfriend cheats on her. I just know that either she gets on the train or she doesn't.
Oh, no, this is what you've said. She makes the train, and she sees her boyfriend cheating on her, and so she goes on to, like, break up with him, you know, girl boss, live her best life, meet someone else, whatever. There's a situation where she doesn't make the train and she misses the cheating and she stays with her boyfriend and they, like, you know, get married and live together and she never knows. And I was, like, waiting for that to happen at the end, and that is not how it ends. So, like, the whole time, it was actually nice because I thought I knew how it ended, but I was very surprised by the ending. And the ending was good, but there was conflicting messaging because I felt like the whole time it was like, you know, one instance could change your whole life. Mm-hmm. But at the end, then the message really was, what's meant to be will be.
Interesting. I have to say, I've never said anything about her boyfriend. I don't even know that she had a boyfriend in the movie. Like, the only thing I know about the film is that there's two scenarios and they involve a train. Like, I don't know anything else.
They involve doors that are sliding.
Precisely.
Well, you should watch it. I enjoyed it. Obviously, like, I had my critiques of the protagonist, but in general, it was really good. Gwyneth is everything.
And she's a star.
It was. It posed some interesting questions.
Okay.
I can't believe you've never seen it. I literally watched it. Like, Zach and I were looking for a movie, and I was like, oh, Claudia's always talking about this on the show. Like, let me do my due diligence and watch it.
That's so me. Like, I'm always just talking out of my ass.
That's
like
so funny.
I'm making stuff up.
You actually should watch it because you love Gwyneth and you cite the movie enough.
I know, but now I feel like it might spoil the magic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now I, like, know so much about Sliding Doors.
Right. You're, like, kind of Gwyneth Paltrow's number one fan.
Oh, for sure. Well, number two after you.
So true.
So that was a fun watch. It's fun to turn on a movie.
It is fun to turn on a movie.
And I really was really trying to be, like, intentional with my movie choice. You know, it was like, I want to see something I've never seen before, but I don't need to see, like, Avatar.
Agreed.
Just, like, a good movie, period.
Period.
I went to Max. That's where I watched it because I'm slowly getting logged out of every streaming app.
They are cracking down.
They're cracking down, and I'm, like, not in my home. So they're like, this isn't your TV. So, like, Netflix is done with me already. I already took I went on Netflix vacation where I'm like, Netflix, I'm on vacation. They gave me a few weeks, and then they cut me off again.
They need a bed rest option.
Yeah, no, they need, like, a short-term stay option. Like, Prime Video I can't get into. YouTube TV is, like, my location. They're not believing me anymore. It's really a mess. So I can only really watch Hulu and Max.
Now, we still have so much catching up to do, and before we do that, I just absolutely have to let everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by ZocDoc. Have you ever been on the hunt for a new doctor, and you ask literally everyone you know for the recommendation? Well, you know, a doctor who actually gets you, listens to you, makes you feel super, super comfortable. After weeks of searching, you finally find the one, you call their office, and they have an appointment available, but then the receptionist tells you that this perfect doctor does not take your insurance. Wipe your tears, put away the ice cream, and head over to ZocDoc. You can find and book the doctor who is right for you and who takes your insurance. So ZocDoc is the end-all be-all for finding a doctor who is in your area, who specializes in what you need them to, who takes your insurance, who has an availability for you. ZocDoc is a place to find and book great doctors who have amazing reviews with tons of availability within 24 hours. ZocDoc is a great asset to use if you've recently moved or if you're having like a new medical issue and you've never had to see this type of specialist. It is a free app where you can find amazing doctors and book appointments online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat almost any condition that you're searching for. They have verified reviews from real patients, not robots. And the average wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 48 hours. You can even score same-day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/toast and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/toast, ZocDoc.com/toast. I know ZocDoc was really helpful for Jackie when she moved because she needed all new doctors. And whenever, if you're traveling and you just need to see someone, ZocDoc is the place for you. Support for today's episode also comes from Honeylove. The reviews are in, and Honeylove came out on top for the best wedding day shapewear. With wedding season upon us, this is the ad you've been waiting for. Whether you're a bride, a guest, you're just looking for an everyday fit, Honeylove is your go-to for all things shapewear. They have revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. I have to say, that's kind of been my cross to bear. I've been wearing shapewear since I'm literally 9 years old, and the amount of pieces of shapewear I've thrown out in like restaurants and wedding venues because I'm just like so nauseous I could vomit. I have Honeylove. I have like 4 different items from Honeylove. I got them years ago. They age so well, and I'm so excited they're a sponsor now. When it comes to shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. Struggling to take off a piece of tight shapewear with a bathroom line out the door is the worst, but the shapewear from Honeylove has 100% cotton gusset, so you can skip the extra undies. Plus, it has a convenient opening in the panty area for super easy bathroom access. It doesn't stop there. They have more than just sculpt wear. They have incredibly comfortable bras, tanks, leggings that also offer everyday support. Honeylove is just as easy to put on as it is to take off because shapewear shouldn't be so hard. So treat yourself to the best shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/toast. Use our exclusive link to get that 20% off. That's honeylove.com/toast.
Thanks, Clardial.
What else did you watch this weekend? I caught up on Kardashians like I said I would. I was actually 2 episodes behind. And what else did I watch? What did I say I was going to catch up on? I did. Like, remember I said I'm going to watch Kardashians and one more thing.
No, I don't remember this at all. There's not that much, like, topically on right now.
I know.
But what I did watch, to mixed feelings, was Shrinking.
Oh, yeah. I told Jackie that she should watch it. What do you have to say?
And I like the premise. I really like so many of the cast members. And then it becomes clear after a few episodes that it's becoming, like, sitcom-y, where it's like, this is the cast of characters. It's not a drama. It's, like, you know, funny things that – neighborly things that happen. And
yes.
Everyone is interconnected. And I gave it a lot of episodes, maybe, like, 7, until I realized, like, if someone told me I could never watch a show again, like, I would be perfectly fine with that. There's something like a little cringy about the writing. The only person who has great lines is Harrison Ford. Everyone else is just like, there's something weird about it. And everyone was like so mean to that woman, Liz, who literally like took care of that
girl. Queen.
Who
is
was
a queen.
Like wayward after her mom passed away and her dad was like doing cocaine with hookers.
Prostitutes, yeah.
And we're going to be mad at Liz for overstepping.
No, I was going to ask you like your favorite character because mine is 100% Liz. And Liz's marriage is the funniest thing.
The funniest thing. And it's a really good marriage. And her husband was 100% right about like he's retired now. Like he worked really
hard. You get out.
For 40 years. Like if you want your space, like you leave the house.
100%. I love Liz.
So like there was shticks that I really liked. But then there was like overall, like, Jason Segel just had some, like, really bad lines. And, like, as a character, he was just, like, bothering me. And I was like, you know what? This isn't sparking joy.
You know what is not sparking joy for me? Like, recommending stuff to you. Like, I like this stuff, and then you always have, like, a fucking negative take.
No, but, like, you never say you have to watch a show, you would absolutely love it. And if you ever do say that, I feel like I usually do like it. But you didn't say that. Maybe you said it about, like, the other two.
I did say it about the other two, and you didn't even like the other two. Like, I didn't. You're just, you know, you're in, like, your haterade era when it comes to TV.
Yes, but I don't think... I think even if I watched the show, like, a year ago or a year from now, like, I just still don't think it would be for me. Like, I think, honestly, the bar keeps getting lower and lower. And, like, the other two is a really good premise. And they have funny moments. And same with Shrinking. But, like, it just, they don't land the plane all the time.
I really, like, okay, say what you want about Shrinking. I know, like, I don't want to. Stop I don't with wanna, the other two.
I'm not going to say it because I know that you like it so much. But this is, like.
And I'm going through something right now because it just got canceled.
Right, so I'm not going to rag on it. And there was one other show that I started that I was like, no thanks.
What was it?
I forget. It was a few weeks ago.
Why don't you start?
Oh, I guess Working Moms. I never finished.
Okay, you're also wrong about that.
I was like, it's just not good enough.
Oh my God, the bar is so high. Maybe that bar isn't low. Maybe the bar is so fucking high for you.
No, and that's why it's like, the bar is high when I'm watching, you know, like, scripted, high production shows. Mm-hmm. But so it either has to be like that, or I want low bar. Selling Sunset is fine, except I put the bar down too low, and I started something yesterday that I don't think I'll be finishing.
Selling Beverly Hills?
No, I'm not that desperate. The D'Amelio Show season 2.
Oh, okay. I watched season 1, and I thought it was a very unique and, you know, interesting insight into the lives of these two incredibly interesting girls.
Agreed. I liked season 1 when I think back on it because I didn't really know anything about them as people. But there's just this slow pace to it. And also the producers make it worse by asking these, like, dumb questions in the interviews. Like, Dixie's in the studio. How does it feel to make you see her in the studio? And then they give, like, long answers. And it's just like, let the girls live and we'll watch it play out. There is an interesting thing happening with the two girls, though, because... They're like really close as sisters, but they're inevitably like in competition with each other. And it feels like Everyone around them is constantly pitting them against each other. And like Dixie was the less famous sister, is the less famous sister. And like she chose to do music, which I think when she chose it, people were like, whoa, that's ambitious. And she kind of just like toiled away for a year. And now she has like a nice music career. She did Jingle Ball.
Yep.
And Charlie is like, she took a break from dancing. She took a break from everything because like she started to hate everything because everything became work. And let's we not forget, she's 16 years old. Like she doesn't need to be like working day in and day out. And then she's like, I'm kind of feeling like I want to do music.
And remember, what?
We reported a few months ago that she was coming out with a song. So at first,
and how does Dixie feel about it? So honestly, sounds like the show's amazing.
Right. On the show, Charlie's not telling Dixie. She's doing studio sessions and she's putting them in her calendar as acting sessions just to see if she likes it enough to even tell Charlie. But it's like, one, that's what makes it shady. Because really, I think Dixie would support whatever Charlie wants to do. And two, like, if they had played their cards better, they could have been a duo act called the D'Amelio Sisters, where they both dance and sing. And Charlie's like the better dancer on stage, but Dixie's the better singer.
No, that's very interesting.
So now they're going to try and carve out, like, two solo music careers for two girls who are essentially the same?
No, that's very interesting.
Very interesting. And also, the show is just fucked because, like, the first episode is about Dixie playing Jingle Ball. And she's so nervous because she's never really played a show before. So for your first show to be 20,000 people who aren't there just to see you, like, BTS is performing, Lil Nas X.
It's very hard to be, like, a smaller act playing at those types of events.
And every time the girls are, like, nervous about something or they're about to do something big, the show, like, puts up these tweets around them, like, from the haters. Like, Dixie has no talent. And we're just, like...
That's so toxic.
We're, like, watching her, like, break down. She literally is about to vomit. And it's like, Dixie will never be Charlie. Who would even go to see Dixie at Jingle Ball?
Oh, that's terrible.
It's terrible.
That's like really, that's like manipulative and like bullying.
Yeah, no, it's so weird. And it's like, of course, there are always going to be haters. But like the girls, Charlie has 150 million followers. Like, why do we need to see these haters' opinions of them? Even though I do think it like really affects how they see themselves.
Yes.
It does seem like in this season, they have a much better grasp on fame and their mental health than they did last season. But still, like, they're just, they're just so young. It's hard to watch.
Damn. Sounds good.
Yeah. It's an interesting premise, but that's what I mean when I say, like, the producers are kind of getting in the way of the show. Like, just let the show play out instead of, like, they're in an interview, like, asking these deep questions. It's like, Charlie doesn't have an answer for that. Just let the girl live.
Right. Like, let her go play with her friends.
Maybe I will finish watching it.
Sounds like you're loving it.
I only watched, like, 1.5 episodes, and Dixie and Noah are, like, they're not broken up, but they're not in a great
place.
But
in real life, they are, so this is obviously old.
Oh, shit. Well, in the show, it's, like, they're both so busy that they, like, don't have that much time for each other, and then, like, making time for each other becomes work a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I actually
they broke up a while ago, so they're obviously, this is the road to the breakup.
Oh, they're such a cute couple.
I know, and I remember on season one, like, really liking him as a character. He gives, like, Scott Disick energy.
No, I like him so much as a young man.
Me too. I think he's a real stand-up guy.
He seems like a really nice guy and a good role model.
And he had, like, a very good head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I like him.
And he was kind of like a steadying force for Dixie.
Right.
Has Dixie been with anyone else since?
Not that I know of. I think maybe privately, but not publicly.
Oh, and then Shirley is with?
Landon Barker.
Okay. I forgot about that. So
Shirley, like... Shirley, like, runs with the Kardashian crew now.
On the one hand, I'm happy for her, but on the other hand, like, she needs to be slowing down. Like, it's already too much. Just being,
it's already
Shirley.
Like the fast life.
Oh my god! So I wonder if, like, through the Kardashians, if, like, Shirley and Addison are spending time together.
Okay, it's
and we
very
have a
interesting.
Story about Miss Addison's return today.
Right. So I feel like right when Addison and Courtney stopped hanging out is when Charlie and Landon started dating, so there wasn't much crossover, but Addison has made the great return. What does that mean for Shirley?
Yeah, but also Addison's, like, returning and, like, the mom friend, and Shirley's, like, the kid's girlfriend.
Kids, that's true.
It's like Shirley's almost like her stepmother-in-law's friend.
Yeah, like, the two girls, like, both being around them really highlights how weird the Courtney-Addison relationship is, because, like, Addison's friend is friends with her kid.
Yeah, but... there's always been, like, a small age difference between Shirley and Addison,
yep.
That seems so big.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's what I've been up to watching.
Very exciting stuff. Different weekends, but both exciting nonetheless.
Totally. And now we're reunited. And Turdy's birthday's coming up.
I know. It's on Monday.
What are we going to do?
Well, we're trying to plan something, but everyone in the family hates me and, like, doesn't care about my birthday, so... we nix that.
Do you want to do, like, a daytime thing or a nighttime thing?
I know I say this every year. I'm sure if I, like, literally listen to this episode today from last year, I'll say the same thing. Like, I don't want to be bothered with it. And then the day before, I'm going to be, like, mad that nobody did anything for me. Like, I'm so toxic.
Do you want me to, like, plan a little something? But it would just probably be, like, a family thing, not, like, with friends and stuff. And sometimes you, like, want to be with friends and, like, go crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Ben, like, keeps asking me about it. And I'm literally, like, shut up. Like... what is it about birthdays? And also, like, I really don't want to even talk about how old I'm turning because, like, I will jump off my roof.
I did not realize how old you were turning.
Don't even start. You're such a bitch. Like, seriously.
I didn't – or it hadn't, like, sunk in until I was, like, doing some math recently.
No, I know.
And it was surprising. But the good news is, like, you'll always feel young when you're hanging out with me.
Like, I guess.
Hang out with my friends, like, you're so young. You're so little.
I know, and you know what?
Turdy.
Age, like, is not something I'm afraid of. Like, I'm not afraid of turning 29 because I'm almost 30. Like, I don't fucking care. I'm just, like, in a place right now where, like, I don't have kids yet. And, like, the older I get, it's, like, the less time I have biologically. Like, I just know that that's a fact. But I'm also, like, not ready. And I just think, like, oh, 29, you know, they say after 35. Like, I just, like, I'm running out of time. I really need to be 25. Like, I just desperately need to be 25.
I understand.
Like, being a woman sucks.
I understand. But I also know what's ahead for you, so I don't really feel sorry for you.
Like, I don't even, like, I'm literally, it's that line from, I think, Little Women. I'm 27 years old. I have no money, no prospects. Like,
have you ever even seen Little Women, or is this Little Women TikTok edition?
It's a sound that went viral on TikTok. And I know that feeling. Like, just feeling, like, under, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not, like, ill-prepared. Like, I just don't feel 29. You know, I don't have, like, the life of a 29-year-old, you know? I'm so 22.
No. And you don't have no prospects. It's just this one thing.
I know. And it's like, it keeps me up at night.
But like you have a wonderful career. You have a wonderful husband. You have a wonderful Theo. Wonderful family.
No, it's true. It's true. And like, I shouldn't be ungrateful. But I just like, this is what I think about. I'm at a crossroads in my life. Like, for real. I need Kim Cattrall to show up and kick me out of her house. Like,
that is what you need.
100%.
Like a stern fist.
Not enough people talk about how Kim Cattrall is the mom in Britney Spears' Crossroads. And well, that's a perfect casting. They couldn't look more alike.
Right. Or Ice Princess.
I think that Kim Cattrall... Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I started watching Netflix's new show called Gorgeous because I wanted to support Kim Cattrall, okay?
Okay.
Kim Cattrall had a new show. Here's the concept. And you know, the concept actually sounded up my alley. So it's about this like cute little kid. Well, he's not a little kid. He's like this maybe 18 or 19 year old guy. He like loves makeup. He like sells makeup at the makeup counter and he like wants to be an influencer. He's like always running home and his mom's like, girl, get a job. And he's always like making videos and stuff like in his room. And he's at the makeup counter one day. It all happens in the first episode. And Kim Cattrall is kind of like Anastasia Beverly Hills. She's like this former model and she has like the biggest makeup company in the world. And she comes in to like check on her displays and he ends up like doing her glam and Kim Cattrall loves him and hires him. And like, it's the start. It's kind of like Ugly Betty. Like he's, you know, not experienced, but Kim Cattrall sees something in him and he goes to work at like her mega, mega makeup empire. Okay.
Sounds great.
Jackie. I was shocked. I could not believe that Netflix had the absolute audacity to put this show on. It was horrible. Like, I was in fucking shock. First of all, and like, I know it's probably like a really big deal for the actor, the main guy, like, seriously, like, acting is not for him. It was so bad. I couldn't. Ben comes in, he watches for 10 seconds. He's like, this can't be real. The whole episode is like an SNL skit. It's cringe. The acting, and honestly, Kim Cattrall, I don't know who the fuck is like guiding her. Like, this is a stain on her resume. Like, there are truly no words. Like, unless you have seen 5 minutes of this show, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's Jackie, I literally can't even explain.
I have to get back into my Netflix account.
I'm like, this is Netflix who literally made like that Martin Scorsese, Jimmy Hoffa movie. Like, you're...
Well, that was bad too, but yeah.
Okay, but like I'm saying, like, I can't even properly explain this show. You have to see it to understand it. I'm watching it. I feel like I'm literally in an alternate universe. I'm like, what the actual fuck is going on? Like, the writing is horrible. The acting is horrible. It's literally, and honestly, it just made me then like question and think about like Kim Cattrall's recent moves. You know, she like kind of can't catch a break. She had that show where she played the mega church leader. And like, that show was actually pretty
filthy
good.
Rich,
but, like, it
obsessed.
Got filthy rich. But it got canceled. It's like, she really can't catch a break. And so I think she's just getting desperate. And this is like a project that had like Netflix attached to it. So like, sure. But like, this, and I'm a Kim Cattrall, like, I will, till the day I die, like, stan Kim Cattrall. It really made me question things.
I have to watch it. Sounds amazing. Sounds like my kind of show.
No, it's not called Gorgeous. Sorry, it's called Glamorous.
Okay. It's not called Gorgeous?
No, it's called Glamorous.
Glamorous, with Shirley.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I remembered to talk about that. I was in tears. I felt like, seriously, someone was playing a prank on me. I'm like, there's no way Netflix, the biggest streaming service in the entire world, was okay to put this out. It is moronic.
Great. Well, I think on that note, we can get into the story.
We gotta go.
Because there's actually, the stories are storying in a big way.
You want to do the next thing?
Sure. I thought you were going to cut me off. But without further ado,
never.
Here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Thuma. Thuma, Thuma, Thuma. Let me be your Thuma. Thuma, Thuma, Thuma. Let me be your Thuma. Your bedroom deserves a refresh, and now is the perfect time to elevate the most important room in your home with Thuma. So Thuma has some new stuff coming out, and it's kind of shaking up the industry. The Dresser by Thuma. It is handcrafted from eco-friendly, high-quality, upcycled wood. The Dresser has a modern, minimalist design that elevates any space. So you know we love Thuma. We love their beds. Jackie has one in her house. It's gorgeous. It's great, but mostly we love it because it is so easy to assemble. And now they have the Dresser that is also put together using the timeless technique of Japanese joinery. The drawers are spacious and innovative. They come ready to nest, making assembly simple and quick with no tools required. If you have ever set up a thing that has a drawer with the little wheels and the little thing, like, you know, it is truly, it'll drive you mad. The Dresser from Thuma doesn't have any of that. It fits in every space. You can simply add or remove drawers if you need to make changes. The Dresser's generous subset tray top keeps valuables safely in place, while the soft closed drawers provide quiet functionality to the bedroom suite. It's made for how you live, so the Dresser by Thuma is backed with a lifetime warranty and it ships right to your door. Thuma works with One Tree Planted to plant one tree for every dresser, bed, headboard, and nightstand that they sell. The Dresser and all of Thuma's bedroom essentials are Green Guard Gold certified, meaning they've met some of the world's most intense chemical emission standards. The lower the chemical emission, the cleaner the indoor air. So create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but from home, with the Dresser by Thuma. And now go to thuma.co/toast to receive free shipping in the continental U.S. That's thuma.co/toast, thuma.co/toast for free shipping.
Thank All you, right. Claudia.
I'm assuming I know our first story.
Yeah, our first story, Adele. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Wait, excuse me.
Our first story, Kyle Richards and Mauricio Umansky are shutting down wrongdoing speculation amid split. So this weekend, it came out that Kyle and Mauricio are separating. They then put out a shocking statement that said, in regards to the news that came out about us today, any claims regarding us divorcing are untrue. However, yes, we have had a rough year, the most challenging one of our marriage, but we both love and respect each other tremendously. There has been no wrongdoing on anyone's part. Although we are in the public eye, we ask to be able to work through our issues privately. While it may be entertaining to speculate, please do not create false stories to fit a further salacious narrative. Thank you for the love and support.
So this was really interesting. I got a people notification, and I had been seeing, like, TikToks and stuff. People, like, you know, they hadn't seen them together. They were, like, comparing Instagram captions. Kyle's been, like, running around with this country music star. So everyone's like, what is the tea? What's going on? Then I got the notification, and it was July 3rd in the evening, which is just absolutely brilliant. It's giving Erica announcing her divorce on Election Day. Like, it seemed like they were trying to bury it. And there's so many interesting things coming out of this. And then they responded and basically were like, we're having trouble, but we're not getting divorced. So then Dumois had pictures of them. They're all in Aspen together, celebrating the 4th with the family. It's all very confusing. Now, what I find most interesting about this is probably not what most people find interesting. And I'm honestly, I'm not going down the rabbit hole, and I'm not speculating about, like, you know, this country music singer, like, what it means. Like, I don't do that. Like, I don't care. I find this so interesting because I have to imagine they just wrapped filming, and I have to imagine this was, like, spoken about because, you know, they said they've had a really challenging year. And I can't remember a time in recent memory where, like, what was going on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills wasn't in Page Six before it aired. Mm-hmm. And obviously the common denominator in that is Lisa Rinna.
Yeah. I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago.
And this is, like, such a, like, there's clearly something major going on in Beverly Hills, and it's Kyle's marriage. And if it's spoken about on the show, I feel like the fact that we didn't know about this is so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, people were putting pieces together just based on, like, loose things like Instagram likes,
yeah,
Father's Day post captions this year versus last year, you know, comments that Mauricio was leaving. And the vibe is that, like, Mauricio was still acting like nothing had changed. He was leaving, mm-hmm, flames emojis, leaving, right, writing nice birthday things. And Kyle's content of Mauricio has gone down in the last year. And I wasn't giving any credence to these rumors before. The one that, like, Kyle Mauricio, there was trouble in paradise, and two, that Kyle is always with this country singer, Morgan Wade. But then after the news came out, I was like, you know what, let me see what everyone's been saying. So there was, like, a highlight on one of the, like, Bravo fan pages that really, like,
broke catalogs. It down. I saw it too.
Okay, yeah. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to watch it. Let me see, like, if there's anything here that really catalogs all the Instagram stuff. And also what I found more interesting was, like, Kyle's sort of shift in persona, like, in the last year and a half. So she met Morgan, like, she was just, like, a fan of her music. She was driving. And I didn't even realize Morgan's a country star. Her music is, like, extremely good. Mm-hmm. And she was driving, and she just, like, played her album and, like, really resonated with it. And then they became friends. And it's clear that they spent a lot of time together. But also, like, Kyle has, like, an edgier vibe now. That's what the Instagram was saying. And then they posted, like, a clip from the reunion where she had gotten 3 new tattoos. And at the time, it didn't seem like anything, but she had, like, this one tattoo that was a heart. And she was like, it was a heart because it's a heart, but it means something to me. Mm-hmm. And Morgan actually has, like, the same heart.
Tattoo, yeah.
So there's clearly, like, I think a change in Kyle. And I feel like that could – and I'm not saying, like, she's been, like, cheating on Mauricio. I have no idea about any of that. But I do feel like she's doing new things and, like, expanding as a person. And that could be hard on a marriage of 27 years when, like, you've been – this like someone that your husband expects you to be, and then you are just like going through kind of like a metamorphosis, and it's not aligning with like what he's, you know, been able expecting to come home from for 27 years. So
yeah,
I feel like the statement that they are, I mean, the report that they were separated is obviously the truth, but also the fact that they're not divorcing and that it's been a hard year, but they're working on things and like the story's not over yet. I feel like that's also true.
Yeah, I am concerned because I feel like Kyle has really gotten away in, like, the last 15 years with, like, being a mainstay on her show while giving nothing. Like, she's very behind the scenes. She doesn't really bleed out. She, like, you know, she had the thing in the beginning with Kim, and that was, like, I feel like she's, like, you know what? I contributed. Like, I'm just, like, backing up. And she hasn't been, like, I think behind the scenes she, like, makes moves, but she hasn't been very, like, outright vulnerable on the show in a really, really long time. And I really hope that we get, like, a – like, I hope she doesn't sweep this under the rug because this report came out, like, after filming wrapped. Like, I feel like I could see a world in which she, like, didn't talk about it the entire season and then just, you know, comes right out after they wrap.
I could see a world where there's, like, clues throughout the season.
Which, like, I hate. Just, like, tell us.
Yeah. But I feel like it will be a focus on the show, but – it's like if nothing happened and it's just like if, you know, it's just about like Kyle in a new era, then – but I feel like the women would say that. They would be like, it feels like something's changed with you. But they're also – a lot of them are her like real, true, good friends. Like,
they protect.
They wouldn't just like put her on the spot like that. That's an annoying thing to say. Like, you seem different.
Yeah, like vague. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to say, like, I'm a huge Kyle and Mauricio fan. Like, I think they have a really, really good, strong marriage, and I hope that they can work through it. Even if they don't, this isn't, like, a failure. You know, being married for 30 years is amazing.
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood, especially, like, you know, they're super wealthy, but they weren't always. And, like, money changes people, but they're, like, really strong, and I feel like they have a really good, you know, family unit. And I'm really rooting for them. I really am. I love Mauricio. I mean, a lot, you know, now everyone's spiraling. They're like, well, there's something going on with Doreen and Mauricio. Like, last year, people, like, were pulling footage. They're like, something's going on. And now everyone's like, maybe there is something going on.
No, I don't think there's something going on.
I don't think so either, but they definitely, like, really like each other. Not, like, in a loving way, but, like, in, like, a friend's way.
They're cute together.
I'm obsessed.
No, but I don't think just... that has anything. Like, that's – and also, it really seems like Mauricio based on the social media behavior, like, Mauricio hasn't changed how he's acting. Like, I don't think Mauricio did something wrong or it was Mauricio's choice. Like, I really feel like this is a Kyle – initiative, and maybe that's just because of like what has been presented to us, and like people don't, we don't know what goes on with Mauricio and what he does, you know, after hours, but that's just like what I'm feeling.
And I think when everybody saw this statement that they posted, the first thing that came to their mind was Alison Dubois.
Oh my god, the way that bothers me so much. Does it bother you?
No, but I get why it bothers you.
Because, like
okay, I think it's funny.
This bitch
I think
said it's funny. Something cruel, what, 16 years ago, and now we're going to say she was right? Like, you could predict anything, like, that far out, and eventually something that you say will land, but, like, you didn't predict anything. Like,
no, but I just want to say, just to play devil's advocate here for 1 second, what she said was very specific. She said, your husband will never emotionally fulfill you.
I thought the same thing, because it's not like she said, like, Kyle's you guys are going to split up. Because you know what? In Hollywood, you know, you say that 50%, more than 50% of the time, you would be right.
Right. And so if the theory we're working with now is, like, Kyle's kind of having this metamorphosis because she's not emotionally fulfilled at home. Like, I don't know. It might have been, like, kind of spot on.
No, I, like, literally, I hate that woman. Like, I will not give her any credit.
Well, she has spoken. She posted on Twitter. She's like, I wish Kyle no ill will, because everyone was like, what is Alison Dubois saying right now?
Yeah.
And she's still, you know, she's standing firm on what she said.
She's doubling down. Well, now would be the time.
Right, right. There's nothing like being proved right 10 years later.
More than 10 years later.
My main message here is like, I'm really rooting for these two, like truly and honestly.
Yeah.
I love them.
Me too. And I feel like most, like, couples who separate in their marriage, you know, regular people, you never hear about it. You don't know, like, because they're not famous, you don't hear. So it's just, like, the fact that they have to go through it, like, and we're all, like, kind of, like, waiting, like, and what yeah. shall be, you know, while Kyle might need to, like, sort some things out within herself.
This is really good promo, though, for this upcoming season. I think people were questioning, you know, what is the show going to be like without Rinna? Because, you know, she's kind of a necessary evil in a sense. But this is definitely, you know, making me excited.
Yeah. Well, I'm always if excited it gets for covered. Beverly Hills, because it's just fun to watch in general.
Yeah. Even when it's bad, it's just like rich ladies being rich, and like they're really rich.
Yeah. So it will be good regardless. I really am hoping that there's a happy ending to this story.
Me too. I would also just absolutely love some clarity.
Yeah. I think we'll get clarity. Like, I do. Through the season and stuff. Like, I think we'll see whatever's happening. Like, it will be written on the walls.
Well, I'm truly rooting for them. Seriously.
Yeah. Agreed.
Great.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
4th of July bash was popping this year.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Rubin's 4th of July party, all the stars were out. But mm-hmm. one crew that, I guess, pregame together that really was really fun to watch was Kim Kardashian, Kendall Jenner, Lori Harvey, Hailey Bieber, Lala Anthony, and Justine Sky all were, like, TikToking together before the party. He has this annual white party. And they weren't even, like, the biggest names in the room, which is crazy.
No, the party was like, it's every year it's like, oh my God, what's going on? And it really, this year, he really manages to outdo himself. People are like, who is Michael Rubin? He started that sports company, Fanatics. He's just like a really, really wealthy, well-connected guy. People in sports, Hollywood, everyone just loves him. And he throws this party at his like beautiful house in the Hamptons every year. And every year it gets bigger and better in terms of who shows up, who performs. Everyone always wears white. And it's really just fabulous and exciting to see the content. It's not one of those parties where like you can't take pictures. They've got like videographers, they got drones, everybody's making TikToks. It's so fun and it's so cool. And I'm obsessed with Lori Harvey and this crew. Like I remember like hearing and seeing that Lori Harvey has like recently become friends with like, you know, this young Hollywood Hailey Kendall crew.
So she's coming in on like the Hailey Kendall side.
Yeah, she has been spotted out and hung out a bunch of times with Hailey and Kendall and like that crew.
Love.
And I think, you know, Kim was hanging out with, like, her younger sister and her friends, which is, like, giving, you know, snitch energy.
But also with Lala, so she wasn't, like,
right,
totally.
Right, she brought a plus one.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. I think another thing everyone's talking about from this party is, like, two other people were literally wearing the same thing that Kim was wearing, which is so not Kim.
So not Kim. Like, I feel like that's her worst nightmare. Like, I actually
she's like the pinnacle.
I don't even think it's her worst nightmare because I don't even think she thought it was something that could ever happen to her.
Possibility.
Because, like, she doesn't get things off the rack. Like, things are made for her. Like,
was she shopping at Forever 21?
Nordstrom's?
I'm shocked. And one of the people wearing something similar to her is Kanye's, like, girly, whatever her name is. Ex-girly, Bianca.
No.
Chani?
Yeah,
Chancy. Which is just even, you know,
no,
even
that's
lower.
So bad. Like, if I were Kim, I would, like, make those girls have to leave the party.
I was keeping up with everything, but I have to say some of the best footage, following Liz Hyde Liz Woods, she got married. Liz Woods on Instagram, she was, like,
she was on top of it.
What's the word I'm looking for? Congregating?
Aggregating.
No, aggregating all the content and really pointing out how, like, so much of what we see on Kim on social media is, like, you know, curated by Kim. It's edited and filtered, not in a shady way. Like, everyone edits, you know, and she has, like, her own flow and her own aesthetic. But there were so many photographers, videographers just taking pictures of Kim, like, from the side, from the left, from the front, from the right. And it was very different to see Kim kind of in the natural elements.
Yeah, and also just to see Kim, like, in the context of a party. Like, we are always just seeing her, like, kind of solo shots or like her own photographer or her friends, like, or the family, like always posing, her family that poses. But yeah. No, she was just like a girl at a party. It was really right. shocking to see. And she's also just like wearing a layman's dress. Like, honestly, right. it was really shocking.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think the party was very good for Kim. Like, like I, that was one of my takeaways. Like, I was like, damn, like, I don't know. It kind of was giving civilian energy.
It was extremely civilian.
Even though it was like this A-list, multi-billion, like everyone in the room was a billionaire. Like, it was just giving pedestrian for Kim.
I completely agree. But there were also rumors that, you know, Tom Brady was there.
Right.
I'm sure they spoke.
100%.
What did they speak about?
Jay-Z was also there. Like, one of the things that keeps me up at night, like, is the relationship between, like, Jay-Z, Kanye, Kim, and Beyonce. I don't know if Beyonce was there. She was in New York that day. Oh, okay.
She was there.
But she didn't pull up with, you know, in that Jeep Wrangler that Jay-Z was driving with Corey Gamble in the back. Obsessed. Right. Like, literally, I aim to be Corey Gamble in another life. Like, I don't know where the fuck he came from, how he's friends with everybody, but he's, like, literally so well-connected. And I think people really like him and like want to have him around because he's not like a clinger on. Like, I think he's like very fun and hilarious and like, yeah, sure, invite Corey, we'll go to the party together. Like, I was obsessed.
Yeah, no, I think people just really like having him around because everybody has him around whenever they have the chance to.
I loved it. And another thing everyone was talking about was that Alex Earl was invited.
Yes.
Which is kind of, you know, reaching a level like, it's kind of a, like a rite of passage to like really be an A-lister. Like, you get invited to this party. And I loved that for her. I mean, I said Alex Earl should have been at the Met Gala. Like, I stand by that. I know everyone was like, you're crazy. I stand by that.
Totally. Also, Dixie was there.
Yes.
Oh, so and last Charlie. Year, and Charlie was there.
Charlie and Dixie were there last year too. And I think what I surmised just based on my internet gatherings is that Michael Rubin has like young daughters who are obsessed, you know?
Right.
And
why Alex Earl was there.
Yeah, but like Alex Earl doesn't, her audience isn't like young teenagers.
No, but it's his daughter, you do see her in all the pictures, front and center? Mm-hmm. So like she seems like an Earlian.
Earlian. Yeah, but I remember last year
an
like seeing
early
pictures.
Girly.
Like, I remember last year seeing pictures, like Michael Rubin clearly like asked Charlie and Dixie to come and like did a whole photo shoot with like his daughters and Charlie and Dixie. Like it was like a meet and greet. I didn't see that with Alex Earl this year, you know?
Got it. Well, maybe she's like playing it cooler now.
Maybe.
It's like more casual.
She's like chilling, yeah.
Yeah.
Giving friend, not fan energy.
Yeah. No, it was...
This is my favorite time of year. I love the footage from this party. I love to see who shows up, what everyone's wearing. And this year, really, it was no different. He truly... Michael, congrats.
Yeah. And I hope that maybe some new, like, connect, like romances. Mm-hmm. I really feel like Chloe should have been there. That would have been a great place for her to meet someone.
100%. Because not only is it celeb filled, but it's also just like businessman beau filled. It's filled with like rich Hampton socialites, businessmen, of course, celebrities, but also rich civilians, which is what Chloe needs.
Which is what Kim is.
Which is what Kim is. Yeah, no, seriously. Like, yeah.
Okay, but looking at it from the other side, I also feel like it might be nice for Kim to just have had like a normie night out.
For sure.
No, like, everything is always just so
extravagant.
Everything's like about her. And I feel like every time she has a party, it's like she's throwing it. She's doing everything. Like, she just got to show up to a party in a dress that she bought at the mall, drink some shots, you know, listen to awesome music, have awesome shooters, and have a good
time. And just soaking up each other. She was just soaking up everyone's awesomeness.
Right. Like, I feel like she maybe actually had a good time.
Yeah. I guess we don't know her, like, on a personal level, so we don't know if that's something she would be into or not into, you know?
Yeah, because she's not someone who complains about the fact that, like,
she doesn't get attention.
No, like, I get no privacy and I can't just be normal ever.
Right. She's so maybe like, it was a nice switch up, change of pace.
Yeah, and Justin Bieber was there. I feel like he's never really out anymore. He looked well.
Yeah, he did. I saw those pictures. I loved every minute. I love this party. I love this journey for everyone.
Agreed.
Beautiful.
It was a fun stalk from bed rest.
It really was. Like, thank you, Michael, for doing that.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story, which is some more Kardashian news, actually?
Yeah, what's going on?
Pregnant Kourtney Kardashian is showing off her baby bump in a pink bikini, which is so cute, alongside Addison Rae. So the girlies are back together. Kourtney reunited with her pal Addison for a poolside hang on Monday, with the two of them twinning in bubblegum pink bikinis. Kourtney was showing off her baby bump and her friend being back in her life, and it was just glorious for both of those reasons. Like, one, I miss Kourtney and Addison. I personally stand the friendship. And two, pregnant Kourt.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, when I first saw this photo pop on my feed, it took me, like, 45 seconds to put together what was going on. I kind of forgot Kourtney was pregnant. And then I'm like, wait, Addison, like, it was a lot of moving pieces until it all clicked in my brain. And these two, like, the friendship dissipating over the last year is not something that, like, kept me up at night. Like, I understood how maybe these two could have become, like, Fast and Furious friends and then just kind of fizzled. I didn't think there was, like, a big fight or anything. Agreed. This isn't one of the things that kept me up at night. But I was overjoyed to see the two girlies girling together again.
Me too. Like, I feel like when Kourtney and Addison got together, it was, like, right before Kourtney got with Travis. Mm-hmm. And so they were just, like, hanging out a lot. And then, like, Kourtney, like, prioritized her relationship. Also, Addison got in a relationship with, like, one of Travis's, like, music friends.
Yeah.
And then, Omar. Like, Addison, like, took off around the world. Kourtney got married and, like, was really just in wifey mode. And now Addison's been posting, like, every day. Like, whatever she's doing, she's kind of back.
Yep.
She's back from her hiatus. And I think that means, like, calling up her old friends again. I agree. Nothing nefarious happened here.
No, nothing nefarious happened. But I was really loving the content. I'm so glad the girlies are still friends. I also can't believe, like, I remember them being friends, but, like, they were – remember Kourtney was in Addison's Netflix movie? Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
They were Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Well, I –
that's the thing.
I hope we can usher in that era again. Maybe Addison will be, like, babysitting.
Love, love, love.
That would be awesome.
And that's also so funny about how they actually ended up meeting was, you know, all of Kourtney's kids were, like, fans of Addison. It's giving Michael Rubin energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy that these girlies are back together. Hopefully, you know, we'll get some more content, maybe some more Malibu beach walks.
Yeah, and hopefully Addison will get in another movie because she's my favorite actress.
Well, she is in that Thanksgiving movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I plan to see. Lots of movies.
But it's not my genre. I don't like horror, like, spooky. I actually don't know if I'll see it, even though Addison's in it, Tim Dillon's in it.
I know.
And there was someone else, too. I was like, this movie was made for me, but they just don't know I don't watch spooky.
Is it Eli Roth?
It's an Eli Roth movie, yeah. Let me look at the cast.
Jewish King.
Right. Like, I feel bad.
Patrick Dempsey. Because it seems right up your alley.
Patrick Dempsey, Milo Manheim.
Okay.
Okay.
That's, I don't think Milo Manheim is, like...
That's kind of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Dillon. So yeah,
Addison's back. I'm happy. She
Addison's
needed some
back
time
in
off.
Town.
Like, I think we forget. You know, it was probably really hard for her when her parents were, like, acting a fool, making so much drama, like, embarrassing her. And that was probably a lot. And she needed some time off. And I respect that, especially because she just rose to fame so fucking fast. Like, she's so young. She needed time to stabilize a little bit.
I respect it too, especially watching the D'Amelio show. Obviously, like, everyone compares Charlie and Addison, not even for their work, but just, like, I feel like for the way that they've handled fame. And I feel like Addison has just taken a different path of slowing down. And I think it could really be to her benefit, because the way that the, like, Charlie and Dixie, like, it's not,
like, so healthy all the time.
It's not so healthy all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story? A little romantic news.
Is it a little romantic news that's brought to you by the farmer's dog?
It is.
Whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior dog who's seen multiple decades, any dog person, like us, knows that the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet. And the farmer's dog can keep them healthy, which gives you more quality years with them. The farmer's dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, it's nutritionally balanced, and it's made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. It's the best option for dogs at all life stages because it's not kibble, it's not canned crap, it's just real food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed, they can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they are extremely difficult to portion accurately. And the farmer's dog isn't just high higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog. It's based on their unique nutritional needs, and it makes it easy to help maintain your dog's ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. So we all know we want to take the best care of our Streis brethren. And feeding your dog like actual healthy, fresh food has so many benefits. Theo's been on the farmer's dog for a while. You know, his breath is better. His weight is more stabilized. His fur coat is even shinier than you thought it could ever possibly be. There's just so many different health benefits, from healthier coats to skin, better digestion, smaller, better poops. So a healthy diet isn't just important for humans. If you want to get 50% off your first box of the farmer's dog, go to thefarmersdog.com/toast. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Coterie, for the other baby in your life. How many times do you get up in the middle of the night to change a baby's diaper? If you have a little one, it's probably been a while since you went a full night without interruptions. Well, Coterie diapers are designed for better sleep, and they've given us at least 1 to 3 extra hours of sleep per night. Because parenting is stressful enough, and you're supposed to somehow do it all effortlessly. It's the small hacks that are the biggest game changers, and for Jax, I know it's definitely a better diaper. And that's why she uses Coterie. Coterie is the highest quality diaper that is extremely soft and super absorbent, so it gets us both through the night. Coterie diapers are designed to minimize leaks, blowouts, and diaper rash, so you and your baby can enjoy more comfortable, dry, interrupted sleep. They have up to 70% more liquid capacity, and they absorb up to 4 times faster by moving liquids away from the skin within 15 seconds, keeping your baby drier than the leading diaper brands. I know you got a big old box of Coterie in your hallway. I saw it. Tell me about your experience.
Coterie is an amazing diaper brand. Honestly, I saw so many ads for it, like just like great videos from moms, testimonials from moms themselves, before I finally got on the Coterie train, because once you're trying to get your kid to sleep through the night, it's like you need a diaper that's gonna help you facilitate that. No blowouts, right. No leaks, no anything. And like Coterie, it's like they say, they are the Rolls Royce of diapers. So I sleep so good when Harry's sleeping in his Coterie, because I'm like, it's not going to be the pee that wakes him up. You know, it could be something else, baby tings, but not the diaper issue. So I love Coterie, and it's made with great ingredients to put on your kid's tush. I love it. Highly recommend.
It's time you use a better diaper, and right now Coterie is partnering with our podcast to offer you 20% off your first order plus free shipping at Coterie.com, promo code TOAST. That's Coterie spelled Coterie.com, promo code TOAST for 20% off your first order and free shipping. Coterie.com, promo code TOAST.
Great. Our next story is some romantic news. Logan Paul and Nina Agdal are engaged after he popped the question with the wrong size ring just after their 1 year anniversary. So Logan Paul proposed to his model girlfriend, Nina Agdal, on Sunday night in Lake Como, Italy. A fellow hotel guest who witnessed the proposal told the Daily Mail that they shared an emotional embrace just moments after she said yes.
I really like these two together. I actually weirdly, like, really like Logan Paul. I know people are like, he's whatever. I like him. I think he's really smart. And
do you like him just as much as you like Jake Paul? Or do you have different feelings about each of them?
I have different feelings about each of them. Oh. Jake Paul is a nut I can't crack. Like, why did the FBI fucking raid his house? Like, we never found out.
Yeah, but
that keeps me up at night.
Yeah, I would like to know, but, like, maybe they were just, like, raiding. Sure. You know? Especially if nothing came of it, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, by the way, I don't dislike Jake Paul either. I just happen to like, I follow Logan Paul on like most social platforms. I find him really interesting and really smart, especially like his energy drink and then his WWE career. I feel like he's really done very well for himself, and he doesn't get like a lot of credit because I think people are just like referring to him as like a YouTuber and like his past scandals or whatever, but he's incredibly smart. He really kind of invented that like influencer boxing culture, and I just think he's like a good businessman, and I enjoy following him, and I enjoy his content, and he makes a lot of content with Nina, and I think they're really cute.
I think they're so cute.
It's a good match. Really, they look alike too.
I don't know a lot of the difference between Logan and Jake Paul. They're just the Paul brethren to me.
Okay.
That's why it's like, I like them both.
Yeah.
But I think this is such a cute couple, so well matched, and they clearly are like seriously dated for a year. They're getting engaged.
Hopefully and they look alike. Married. And that's how you know, like, a couple is destined to be together, like, when they start looking alike.
And they're good looking.
Yeah, tall and blonde.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Like, I think it's a good match. I think when they first started dating, people were like, this is random. How do they know each other? But I think she provides a lot of value for him in his life and like his public perception. And she provides a lot of value. Like he, like she's like a full blown influencer now, you know, she was like more of a model, but now she like makes content and everything. Like, I think it's a good match. I'm really here for it. And I'm happy for them.
Mutually beneficial relationship while also being a love match.
Which is so, I feel like that's all you can really ask for from like a celebrity relationship.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Alex Pettifer. Sort of.
I totally see that.
Yeah. I'm just looking at all these pictures of them right now.
Yeah, that's actually a very good call.
Yeah.
And Alex Pettifer is so random. Like, literally, how is he famous? What has he, like, done?
No, and I feel like he has, like, a terrible reputation. And it's, like, he's not famous enough for how bad his reputation is.
No, he's, like, I know his name. Like, he has name recognizability. Like, what the fuck has he been in ever?
And, like, no, I've seen him in so many of my crappy movies that I love.
Right.
But, like, he was in that movie with Vanessa Hudgens, like, Beauty and the Beast remake.
Oh, Beastly. God.
Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, my God. He, like, turns into a beast. It's actually Mary-Kate Olsen who plays, like, the little wench who turns him into a beast. It's kind of a classic.
I don't know if I'd call it a classic.
Endless Love, Snitch's favorite movie.
Endless Love, yeah.
Wild Child, which is actually my favorite movie and not a piece of crap and so good. And if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. Emma Roberts at her best.
Yeah.
Magic Mike, I guess he's in. I think he's like
okay.
A big
part of that.
And he's in Magic Mike XXL.
I also think he like went through like a few years where he was dating really high profile women and like that's why we know him.
Who was he dating?
I think he dated Nicola Peltz.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm like fairly certain. Let me just double check. Alex Pettifer. Nicola Peltz.
He was in The Butler.
Oh.
But he was Thomas Westfall. The Butler has such an interesting cast because it was like all these famous people playing historical figures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always fun. Like Robin Williams played Dwight Eisenhower. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. And I don't know if Alex Pettifer and Nicola Peltz dated. I might have made that up.
Oh, it's okay. It sounds right.
Yeah, he dated, I don't know. He's just like, I mean, I literally Google Alex Pettifer girlfriend and he has like a new girlfriend, like another beautiful woman. I can't even keep track.
But like a random person.
Yeah. But like lots of beautiful women. He's handsome.
Yeah. Never forget that James Marsden played JFK and Minka Kelly played Jackie O.
Well, James Marsden also played the great Corny Collins, so that's not shocking.
Also historically correct.
James Marsden, like, he's a very, like, underrated slay. Like, he just kills.
No way.
Like, he's an amazing actor. I do think that, like, recently him being on Jury Duty is, like, one of the greatest things that ever happened to him. Because he's, like, he's not, like, somebody who's always, like, being spoken about in the zeitgeist. Like, he's just, like, a really kind of consistent, good, famous actor. But he's at, like, you know, he's the name on everybody's lips these days because of Jury Duty.
And I'm happy for him. But, like, as someone who's loved him even, like, through the dark eras, like, you know, when the calls weren't coming in for James Marsden.
So true.
Like, it just, I have to share him with the world now.
No, I understand that feeling. Like, it's, like, I put in all the work. I've been here during the dark times. And, like, now everyone's on board. But, like, what about me? What about my feelings?
Where were you, like, after Enchanted?
Right.
You know? Just hurts.
But, like, if you ever question James Marsden's talent, which I don't know if somebody would, but if they were, all they have to do is watch Hairspray.
No, and nobody questions his talent. Like, they couldn't.
Yeah.
They couldn't question
it. Because you know what? Things are popular for a reason.
Exactly. Oh, and he wasn't Dead to Me.
He was excellent in that. He played two different roles because he played two identical twins.
He's so versatile.
What can't he do?
Oh, my God. And he was in the best movie ever, Sugar and Spice. That's definitely where my love starts from.
Oh, my God. Well, I think everybody's love for James Marsden really starts at 27 Dresses.
Yeah, honestly, not for me.
Me neither. I don't like even particularly love that movie. Wait, who was he in Sugar and
the
Spice?
Boyfriend.
The best fucking movie.
The girls, they were pregnant together. I think his name was Jack. And he was like the supportive boyfriend who was excited to be a dad. Jack Bartlett. And he didn't know what she was doing.
Sugar and Spice is the most, I feel like people don't even know what we're talking about.
I know, but like.
Because it was like a movie about cheerleaders that came out around the same time as Bring It On. And like, obviously everyone was watching Bring It On. But honorable mention to Sugar and Spice. They're like cheerleaders who rob banks.
You guys have to watch it if you never have.
And they're robbing a bank because one of them is pregnant and she doesn't know what she's going to do, so she needs money. Honestly, it's like the story of a woman in crisis.
Yeah, and her friends rallying around her, women supporting women.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie.
Yeah. That's where the love starts for me.
So true.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
An hour and 20 minutes later, I am.
Adele calls out people throwing shit on stage at artists. She said, yes. I fucking dare you. During a recent Weekends with Adele show, the pop singer cheekily called out the disturbing trend of people throwing objects at artists on stage. She said, have you noticed how people are, like, forgetting fucking show etiquette at the moment? People just throwing shit on stage? Have you seen them? I fucking dare you. Dare you to throw something at me and I'll fucking kill you, she joked. No, that's literally how I felt when I saw those videos.
Yeah.
Like, the rage that I felt. And so, and I'm not even an artist. I was just, like, trying, if I was Bebe Rexha, like, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Adele's putting it out there. Like, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, I will say I have been to Adele's show and... Because Adele is, like, a certain type of artist and the show is in, like, this really sort of, like, regal Caesar's Palace. Like, it's partially, you know, you're sitting for some of the show. It's not the exact type of show where I feel like somebody would throw something, if maybe just, like, a flower on stage. So I don't think this is, like, going to be an issue for Adele. But she's, like, a, you know, a major figure in the music industry. And I'm glad she's speaking on it.
Yeah. And she has, like, more of a mature audience. Like, if you, now, like, putting together some of the singers who were attacked, it's, like, Bebe Rexha, Ava Max, Kelsey Ballerini, Pink, yep. And it's like, it's younger. Just like a rowdier, younger audience. Whereas, so I feel and, like, but still, it could have, I mean, it happened at Dave Chappelle's show.
Yeah, that's true. With also, I think a common theme for the people, Pink, Bebe Rexha, Kelsey Ballerini, they were all performing outdoors. And I think people just like get fucking crazy outdoors.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Maybe it's like the fresh air getting to their head or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, Pink's was also like a festival all day. People are like drinking all day.
No, this is just something that needs to be nipped in the bud. And like, so I guess Ava Max was slapped by a concert goer who ran on stage during her show. And she tweeted, he slapped me so hard that he scratched the inside of my eye. He's never coming to a show again. Like, I'm sorry. That's just not a harsh enough punishment.
Wait, he's ever going to a show again? He should never be able to leave his house again.
I want an eye for an eye.
Agreed. Come here. Let me slap you.
Scratched eye for a scratched eye.
Love that.
Also, Kelsey Ballerini was struck.
Yeah, Kelsey Ballerini was struck, and she had posted, I feel like hers was a little different because I don't think somebody was, like, trying to hurt her. They were throwing a friendship bracelet, which is something, you know, they do at Taylor Swift shows, and now, like, a bunch of other artists are doing it, too. I think the person, like, didn't mean to hit her in the face. Like, Bebe Rexha's was mean-spirited. Ava Max's was mean-spirited. It was attack. Like, Kelsey, I mean, it's unequivocally wrong. Like, stop fucking throwing things. But I don't think the person was, like, an evil person who did it. Like, I think it was, like, a genuine mistake. But the lesson is stop throwing shit and there won't be any mistakes. Yeah, and Kelsey
has said, like, it's a fear of her. So she also was just, like, mentally shook, thrown off by it. It wasn't even so much, like, the physical pain. It was just, like, the being shaken up. But I don't know. Like, you're not Babe Ruth. Like, you have a terrible arm. Don't fucking throw shit. Especially if you can't aim.
100%.
But, like, this is a really bad trend, and I feel like it's not going away. And, like, what? They're going to put up glass barricades. You want that?
Oh, my God. Literally. You want that? Watch, like, celebrities performing in cages.
Mm-hmm.
It just must be so scary, like, now that it's happening to so many different people, before any artist goes on stage, it's, like, something they have to think about.
Yeah. And they're not going to, like, engage with the crowd as much. You know, you're going to want to, like, stand back from the stage.
So you can see it coming. Yeah, no, it's just ruining the fun for everyone.
Yeah. But I just feel like
we need
harsher punishments for the people who are doing this because maybe it would stop. Yeah, harsher punishments for parole violators, for sure.
You literally sound like Sandra Bullock in Miss Congeniality. Jackie, I thought the same fucking thing.
No, because like if you just get like tweeted about, it's not a big deal. Like, but you need harsher punishments so that like people don't feel like they want to do this because the consequences are bad. Like,
public shame. We need photos of them being posted everywhere. That really happened with Bebe Rexha because hers was like really the worst.
But some people want that notoriety.
Oh shit. You know? Like the true mentally ill.
Right. Like they're like, fame is fame. Everyone's going to know my name.
You're so right.
So I don't think that's enough.
Jail.
I just feel like I get to throw a phone at you then.
Yeah, like come backstage and you want to throw something at me? I get to throw it right back at you.
Actually, I get to choose someone who's going to throw it. I'm not going to throw it.
Tom Brady. Yeah, Gronk.
But then they'll do it so that they can meet Tom Brady.
Oh, fuck. Fuck. my God, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It really needs to be thought through.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, it has to stop. And I'm glad, you know, major players like Adele are speaking. Everybody needs to get a fucking talking to.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel, like, amazing that we finally, like, that we talked about everything, you know?
Yeah, it's all out there. We've mentioned it all. And we had a lot of good laughs along the way.
We really did.
What was your favorite laugh of the show?
Good question.
Mine was Kim as a civilian.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be our title.
Maybe, but people are going to want, like, Kyle and Mo. Maybe we do, like, a title. This is what we do on days where we have so much news. Like, Kyle and Mo, Kim parties like a civilian, and something else.
And more.
And, oh, my God, that's enticing. They will click teasing. On that.
Teasing.
Yeah, we're such teasers.
All right, well, tomorrow's episode is Jackson Claude back in studio in NYC video and audio. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you so much for listening to the Toast of Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere. Podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us a toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. Happy hump day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya. Bye.